You know, we're going to start a new series as we go into the Easter season today. We're going to move into a series on reclaiming things in our lives that we have lost. Now, church, this is going to be something that you're going to want to listen to again. I'm just believing God's just going to really anoint the messages for the next few weeks. I believe he does that every single time. But for some reason, God's laid this on my heart, and this is going to be one of those things that you want to take notes to, and you'll want to go to our website and listen again and take more notes to. We now have a podcast on iTunes. We also have a podcast on Google Play. So if you want to check that out, you can, and listen to it as you're doing your travels throughout your day and whatnot. You can download it to your device if you know how to do that and listen to it again. Not that you want to listen to my voice again, but I just think that God really has something for you. And let me tell you, I've wrestled with messages before, but this one was a battle. And I just know that God's got something really special for us today in the next few weeks. You know, you think of the word reclaim or reclaiming, sometimes we think of restoration. That's not really what it is. It's reclaiming is getting back something that you no longer have. The restoring means fixing it once you get it back. The restoration process is a little bit different than reclaiming. But today and for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about getting something back. We're going to get something back. And, you know, you talk about this process, and a lot of people think it's this spiritual battle, this wrestling. And the Bible talks about those battles, and we'll talk about that. But the definition of reclaiming is to get it back. To demand something that you've lost, that you had a possession of, or a right to, but now you need to get it back because you lost it somehow. Sometimes that's someone taking it from you. Sometimes that's you giving it away. But you no longer have something that you want to get back, and so you need to reclaim it. And to reclaim it, that means you have rightful possession or rightful heir to it, or you have a right to it because it's yours. You know, the laws of the land in the United States are filled with lawsuits of people trying to get something back. And I'm not saying that's always because they have rightful possession or ownership of it, but there's some type of battle. In the spiritual dimension, it works a little bit differently for our lives, although we wrestle with that battle, but there's something that takes place that sometimes we don't recognize. And listen, how did you lose something in the first place? How do you reclaim it and get it back? And then once you get it back, how do you secure it and guard it so it doesn't go away again? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12a, it says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, that scripture tells me there's a battle going on, there's a fight, and there's a wrestling that goes on, and I know that takes place, and so do you. That there's some type of situation that goes on in our lives that we battle. But I'm going to give you a perspective today on reclaiming something that it's a little bit different than this battle that goes on, that we feel like we're in this spiritual battle. I hear this a lot as a pastor. Pastor, the enemy is attacking me. The enemy is getting a hold of me. The enemy is beating me down. The enemy this and the enemy that. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I told you guys on Wednesday night that, you know, the enemy has no authority over us. The enemy has no control over us. The enemy cannot do anything to us unless one or two things happen. We allow it to happen, or the Lord thy God says it will come to pass. And a lot of that we don't understand, and I can't say as a pastor, I understand some of it either. I read some of these stories, as a news junkie, I read some of these stories of some of the things that happened in the United States and abroad about our children. And that just grieves me when I see that. And I have to admit, as a pastor and a father, I say frequently, God, why? Why are the children suffering? I kind of know the answer to that, and many of us here do as well, but I just think, God, there's got to be a different way. But in the spiritual dimension, there's this reclaiming process that we no longer have something. And listen to this. Reclaiming what is rightfully yours reestablishes a relationship with Christ. Reclaiming something that is rightfully yours reestablishes a relationship with Christ. A piece that is missing, you reestablish with your Creator when you get it back. When you reestablish that relationship, it restores a fellowship with Jesus. So you get something back and it restores something. That there's your restoration process, right? It restores a fellowship that you did not have previously. And there is a different sharing of life. We preached on communion a couple weeks ago and how you go to the table and that's a sharing of the life of Christ. You remember that? You share life with Christ, the Bible talks about. So you reestablish that relationship to restore fellowship, a sharing of life. This restoration process of that fellowship now gives birth to a renewed life. It's a renewal process. Now it's a changed life. Now you've reestablished something between you and heaven. Now your life is changed. It is not the same as it once was, even if you are just restoring just little pieces. It's different than it used to be. Now, this is going to unfold in front of you, church, in the next so many minutes. And you're going to walk out of here, I believe, saying, wow. Wow. I had no idea. And then that renewed life gives birth to what I call a revived life. A revived life. And the Bible calls that victory or a victorious life. And look at the steps. Reclaiming what is rightfully yours reestablishes a relationship with Christ. That reestablished relationship restores a fellowship, sharing life. Restoring the fellowship gives birth to a renewed life, changed life. And that renewed life gives birth to a revived life. Now, I don't know about you, church, but I want to be at the revived life part. So I started looking and praying about, God, how do I get back to this revived life all the time? Because I want to live there. You know, in the Assemblies of God and many other churches, this revival concept or this revival process, we have this distinct thought process of. I think revival in your life is getting back to where you should be the very first time you got saved with Jesus, and you need to live there every single day. And you're going to see that here in a few minutes. This process reminds me of a song, and I put that on the Facebook page. It reminds me of that song that I went to the enemy's camp. Remember that? How many grew up with that song and know? I went to the enemy's camp. Come on, say it. I went to the enemy's camp. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp. I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet. Satan, that's exactly what happens. And see, there's that fight again. There's that, I'm going to go back into the enemy's camp, and I'm going to go get what he took from me. And there's a battle that Paul writes about a lot. You know, this is wrestling. So what was rightfully yours that you no longer have? What is that? What did you go into the enemy's camp to get back? Galatians 5:22-23 tells us how we should be living. The Bible says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what the word says. And those things sometimes we lose. And we're not full of that fruit of that spirit. Because you look at that list right now and you have to ask yourself right now, church, do I have every one of those? Everyone on the list that the Bible says, is that where I live? Or is there a piece of that or some of that or all of that that I need to go back and get? And how did I lose it in the first place? See, we'll go through life trying to figure out why we don't have that anymore or some of that. And there are those in this sanctuary today that can look at that list and say, I don't have that anymore. I don't have that joy anymore. I don't have that peace anymore. I don't have the I don't have this pastor. I don't have the self-control I used to have. Big one. And I'm going to tell you something, church, that's going to blow your mind. I don't think we've lost it in battle as much as we gave it away. We, I believe, surrender it. I think we give it up. It's not as much as it was taken from us, as much as we gave it away. So, now we gave it away, how do we get it back? Because how many times have we heard in the church or outside or whatever, I just don't have the joy I used to have. I don't have the peace I used to have. I don't have these things. I don't have the faith I used to have. I don't have the gentleness I used to have. I don't have this fruit of the Spirit that I used to have. Pastor, how do I get it back? Now we're going to talk this morning on how we reclaim it. And in the weeks to come, we're going to talk specifically about certain things that we definitely need to get back that fall within those categories to help us live a more victorious life. Isn't that what it's about? See, the Bible talks about we're not supposed to live this defeated life. Right? Where in the Bible does it say we're supposed to live a defeated life? The Bible says we're supposed to live victoriously. It's not going to be easy sometimes. It's going to be a trial, a tribulation, a challenge sometimes. But we still should live victoriously. So I'm going to go through a few points today to help you understand how you lost it, how to get it back, and then what to do when you get it back. Okay? How did we lose it in the first place? What did we lose? I read it. So how did we lose some of that fruit? How did we lose some of that stuff that we're supposed to be living victoriously in? And I told you already, I call that giving ground. We lose some of it because we give it away. We lose some of it because we surrendered it voluntarily on our own. And let me tell you the story of the beachhead. Some of you that were in the service would understand this better than I. You know, in battle, you go to battle, and they always talk about if you secure the beachhead, if you just think of World War II, where they would, I preached a sermon last year about how we would invade and how the invasion took place in World War II and the lives that were lost, and they got to the continent, and they got on there, and they stormed the beaches of Normandy, and they secured it. There was a price to pay to get there. There was a price to pay to secure it. And when they put that flag down, they said, "This is now mine." Everybody in battle understands there's a beachhead somewhere. There's some type of ground that takes place that you've got to secure. As those troops were heading towards Japan, towards the latter part of the war, they had to secure Iwo Jima. To get to Japan, remember, you know that story better than I. And they had to battle it out. And there's this concept in life that's called the beachhead, in my interpretation, where there's this little bit of ground that the enemy to your soul and mine wants to invade and get capture, get a hold of, own, possess, hold on to, but that piece is yours. But they go after it. He goes after it. The enemy gets this little bit of ground. And the only way that they can secure that ground is if you give it up. See, it's not a regular physical battle. It's a spiritual situation. And, you know, it goes on and on. And this is completely different than a physical battle. And there was a slide that probably slipped through there that I didn't address, and I want to address it because there's two sides. There's the side over here that says God's divine will for my life. It's called spirit. And then there's this side over here, thank you, Rich, that's God, man's natural will, the flesh. Now, this is what I want over here. But this is what God wants over here, and right in the middle is the greatest gift or curse sometimes that God gave man was called choice. And we choose to surrender some of those things in our lives to the enemy on the beachhead because we just do. And in a couple of minutes, you're going to see that. God wants us to live here, but he gives us this choice in the middle, and sometimes we make some decisions that put us over here. And parents, you see our kids doing that all the time. Because we're not as smart as they are, and they're wiser than us, and they're smarter than us. And you know, and then when they get to be a little bit older, they find out, wow, mom and dad wasn't so silly after all. Right? So we give up some things, and let me give you some examples, and then you're going to start saying, wow. Let me give you some examples of what we give up by choice. This choice thing, what we give up. Listen to this. We give up public ground in our schools. We give up ground in the public schools, my apology. In the public school, we have given up ground, right? In our government, we have given up ground. In the marketplace, in the retail stores, we have given up ground. No longer do you hear the outcry of no prayer in school. No longer do you hear the outcry of the situations where we have given up. The enemy stormed the beachhead, got victory and hold on to this ground, and no longer do we try to take it back and reclaim it. Tell me where we hear too much about prayer at school or whatnot, and what we hear is the enemy making advances on their beachhead, on his beachhead further by taking the Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall, by doing all these things, but you don't hear too often the pushback. Why? Because we're voluntarily giving it up. Parental ground. Few parents punish their kids anymore. I think we forgot what the Bible teaches. So we've given up parental ground. Praying ground. Many are just too busy, too strained, too tired to develop an effective prayer life. So we give up more ground. Don't think I'm not going to talk about me, because I am. We give up preaching ground. Old-fashioned preaching is ridiculed and relegated to the ash heap of history. Many have forgotten what God said about doing that types of preaching. Look what it says in the Word. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased, though, through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." See, even on the pulpit of America or the world, the preachers are giving ground. We don't preach like we used to preach. We don't call sin what we used to call sin by. We spend more time talking about this motivational speaking type of situation as opposed to saying the biblical basics and the facts of the Word. We have lost ground. Just in society, you know, we lose ground. And we lose ground by ignorance. What does that mean? I don't think we know the devil's schemes like we once did. I remember growing up, my mom would recite this thing and tell me this is what he does and this is how it works and go on and on and on and lay it all out for me. I had to know. She pounded it in my head. I had to learn it. The Sunday school teachers would teach me, and I knew exactly. But it was more about, and I learned this, my mom would tell me, you can give it away, but they can't take it from you. And I got it. And for some reason, God lays on my heart to talk about reclaiming something that we lost or what we really gave away. And we wonder why we're not living victoriously with the fruit of the Spirit because we actually gave away a beachhead or two or three or four. Somewhere, we gave it away. And our ignorance, and we give up ground, is the ignorance on the very deliverer. I don't think we know as much about Jesus as we once did. I don't think we... Why are we having classes? Because I think the Word needs to be taught not only to the kids, but to the adults. Guess what, church? We don't know everything. Your pastor doesn't know it all. Trust me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. You don't know much about anything. We don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know where you're vulnerable until you get into the Word and start, I didn't know that. It's amazing how many times I study the Word and I will say, wow, God, I had no idea. Pastor Dave came up to me this past week and he said, you said something in service on Sunday that just blew me away. Now, Pastor Dave has a doctorate. I do not. The doctor in theology comes up to the pastor and says, you said something in the service that I never saw. And let me tell you, I studied those scriptures for my whole life. And he's got the doctorate. And I said, what is that? What could I have possibly told you? He said, I never realized when Paul was on the Damascus Road and Jesus appeared to him that he cried out, Lord. I said, well, yeah, he did. He said, well, yeah, but he wasn't a believer. He was a persecutor. And as soon as he saw the light and Jesus appeared, he recognized Lord. He said, I never saw that. Why would he call him Lord? Why wouldn't he call him the enemy? Why wouldn't he call him something else? He recognized right away, Lord. See, we see things sometimes that we just don't see. And sometimes we don't see it because we're just ignorant to it. So I say we just dive in and we learn together. So we are not ignorant of the ground that we're giving up. Listen. Do we even know where we stand anymore? Or what ground we're on? Do we understand what ground we possess and what beach has we've given away? This has been just life-changing for me. I have spent the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, poring over my life and saying, what God? What beachhead don't I have? What part of my life is gone? And God starts divinely showing me things. And that shakes me up. And then he says, go preach this. Because we're going to go get it back. Sometimes we just forget who we are in Christ. John 8:31b-32 says, if you hold to the teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And what, church? The truth will set you free. But if we have given up too many beachheads, too much ground in our lives, you're never going to see that. We give up ground by sin, of course. Why? Sin grieves the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, which whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Why don't we have the fruit of the Spirit that we used to have? Why don't we have joy, peace, and love, and kindness, all those things like we used to have, gentleness and self-control? Why? We're grieving the very Spirit that blesses us with those things because we're continuing to give up beachheads, ground in our lives, and we wonder why we no longer have it. We don't know. It leaves us because of our everyday lives, and let me give you an example, whatever it is. Everyone's different. Maybe it's some music we listen to. Maybe it's some of the behaviors we take place in, or some of the people we hang out with. I don't know. But I know for me what it is. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that sin, because the Bible says, grieves the Spirit, and then sin gives ground to the devil, right? Sin then allows the devil the beachhead. The ground. But we've been through this so many times that we no longer realize that prayer is not in school, nor do we care. All this stuff just gradually takes over our ground, and we don't possess the same ground in Jesus that we used to possess. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide an out. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. We know that we're going to be tempted as believers. But that scripture just solidifies in my heart that I am tempted, but there's an out for me. But I think we spend too much time possessing the land that remained instead of recapturing or reclaiming the land and ground that we lost. Because I think that we spend that time looking at the ground that we still have, and we don't spend time on what did I lose and why don't I have the fruit of the Spirit and why don't I have this stuff anymore. Instead of taking some personal spiritual inventory, we look at what's left and not how to gain more back or gain more still. When the Bible talks about growing in Christ, there is nothing in the Scripture that talks about going backwards, that that's what God wants you to do. God does not talk about backward thinking. God talks about, and Paul writes about, forward thinking. In fact, we preached a couple weeks ago about not looking back. There's nothing back there, the Bible says. It's all ahead of you because Jesus stands in front. The ground we must possess is ahead. But we spend so much time trying to then secure the ground we have left. And guess what happens? We end up with a little ground. And our spiritual lives kind of goes down. And we wonder why the joy of the Spirit's not with us any longer, or as much as it used to be. Does that make sense to you? And I think that we just need to go reclaim and get back what we lost or surrendered. And now we start doing this spiritual inventory. And I've been doing this now for weeks, saying, okay, God, where in my life have I done this? As a preacher, where have I lost ground? And then he starts having me write the list. And the list got long. And I would look at the list and I would say, surely that's not that long of a list. And surely it was that long of a list. And so I find myself saying, God, I want it back. I want that back. I want that back. I want that back. And that beach shouldn't be there, and he shouldn't have that. And I should have all this stuff. How do I get it back? How do we reclaim ground? I want it back. Listen to what God laid on my heart. How do we get back the ground that we lost? What is the reclaiming process, God? You hear me talk about all the time, God is a God of process. And I went to God, and I said, God, give me the reclaiming process. I need it. Not maybe for you as much as I needed it for me to start. And God said, I'll give it to you, then you give it to them. Deal. I was okay with that. God showed me my faults, my shortcomings, and I'll help everybody else. He says surrendered ground can always be reclaimed, but it's going to cost you. Because you shouldn't have ever lost it in the first place. And let me give you a little example here. These are the things that the church battles with. We battle with this thing called forgiveness. And we battle with this thing called repercussions for our sin. And people in the church think it's the same thing. They think that if you're forgiven, there are no repercussions for the behavior in the lost ground in the first place. Church, that is absolutely wrong. That's wrong. Redemption in Christ is forgiveness. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. But the Bible is full of the cost of losing ground. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for reaffirming that in my heart. The Bible's filled with stories. I thought about listing stories in my notes, and I thought, no, I don't need to do that, because everybody in the room will know at least one story that they can say, oh, yeah. It doesn't take you long to go to the Old Testament or the New Testament and say, wow, look at all the stories. That there is a price to pay still, even though we come back and regain and reclaim. The land is different. The Israelites went into captivity in Babylon. They came back thinking it was all going to be the same. It was not even close. And they had to start all over. Thus saith the Lord. But guess what? They reclaimed the land. It was different land, but they got it back. And what they did with the land at that particular time was completely up to them. What you and I do with the land we get back in our lives is completely up to us. Here's a problem that we see. We get the land back and we reclaim it, but in that reclamation process and all the work we put into getting something back that we lost, whatever it may be, we didn't see that the back door is where the enemy showed up, and we're fighting here, and he's over here taking our land from the backside. And I'm going to get to you in a second about securing that land, but we're going to move into reclaiming the land. There are only two ways to reclaim what you lost. See, I told you there was going to be a lot of stuff in this sermon. You're going to have to go and listen to it at least 40 or 50 times this week just to get it all back into you. That's why we got it on the website. You can download it and then just listen. There's only two ways that you can reclaim it. And you probably know at least the first one. Repentance. See, I'm going to talk to you about that for a second. Repentance means, God, forgive me. And it also means, God, I won't do it again. This is a concept that I battled with my kids on growing up. Dad, I'm sorry. That means, though, change behavior. That means I recognize what I did wrong. I know why I lost the ground in the first place. I want to reclaim the ground that I lost. I am sorry. This is the situation. However, the behavior has to change. See, we ask for forgiveness, but we don't sometimes change the behavior. And then we wonder why we can't reclaim what we lost. We have to realize that the spiritual victory cannot be accomplished using fleshly methods. That is the way of the world, and sadly, it has become the trend in the modern day church. Your pastor speaking this. What we need to understand is that the power comes from doing God's business, God's way. We regain the spiritual ground when we humble ourselves before the Lord, deal with our sinful condition, whatever that may be. We all have sins, right? And operate within the guidelines of God's holy word. We either will be humble or God will humble us. I choose to be humble first. I don't want the creator of the heavens and the earth to humble me, even though we know the Bible says he will do that. But I kind of want to do it on my own. I want to recognize my ground that I've lost, and I want to make sure I go out there and fix that ground and get it back and reclaim and get back into where I need to be. And God gives me this list. I said, whoa, that's a big list. I thank the Lord that each point, though, wasn't this monstrous amount of land. But there were beachheads. They were beachheads. I had a preacher preach years ago, and just to this day, I put it in my notes. I remember this. He says, either you go to your knees, or God will force you there on his own. But guess what, church? You will go to reclaim the ground that you gave away. Wow. I thought that was a powerful statement, and to this very day, it's in my notes, and I have it in my heart. That I want to make sure that I go to my knees in prayer and say, God, I lost this ground. I want to get it back before God forces me there in the first place. Whew. I don't want that to happen because I have been forced there before. The choice is yours. But guess what, church? God will get what God wants. The second point, to reclaim, two points to reclaim. The second one is renewal. We talked about that a second. Listen, the only way to experience a spiritual renewal in your life is for you to rekindle the old flame, get the beachhead back, and be passionate with your love for Jesus and your life and sharing with the Lord. For too often, we are like the people in Ephesus. If you remember the story, we are too busy in the things of the Lord, but there is no real passion any longer for the love for the Lord. Don't be so committed to the Lord's work that you lose sight of the Lord himself. Don't be so committed to your work in God's house or in ministry that you're losing ground with your relationship with the Creator in the first place. We get so busy in the things we do for the church, and I'm seeing all the stuff that people are doing for the church, and the nursery gets paid, and the toddler room gets paid, and other things are starting to happen, and people are working in the other building, and things are, but don't get so caught up in all that stuff and our work for the Lord that we are losing ground for our relationship with Him in the first place. Make sure your life stays renewed, fresh. Don't lose ground, church. Let's talk point three. So we talked about losing the ground. We talked about reclaiming the ground. Now I want to make sure I secure the ground. See, I got it back, and I got the, you know, God's like, okay, this is what it is. I'm going to give it back, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to get it back. But what do I do? How do I secure the ground I get back? How do I secure the ground that I still have? Spiritual ground. This is what we're talking about, spiritual ground, right? You got to work on securing the spiritual ground that you still have while you go after the ground you lost, right? Guard your ground by standing on the truth of God's word. Psalms 119:11. I have hidden the word in my heart that I might not sin against it. The whole reason why we start more classes. The whole reason why we study, the whole reason why we learn, the whole reason why we have prayer, and the bulletin that has all the prayer times that the church has and offers, that the prayer teams have. And Robin leads that and others. It's in the bulletin. Why? Because people need to know when we pray. Does that mean I have to go to one of those sessions to pray? Of course not. I pray often, but I can't make all those sessions. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I sneak in the back. Sometimes I don't. But let me tell you something. They're there for you to go and reclaim the beachhead that you lost. In your private prayer closet, the side of your bed, in the car as you drive. Some of you are drivers and you can drive. Tremendous time to pray. But you got to store that up inside you. You've got to get that inside of you more than you ever have if you want to go back. You can't go into the battle of reclaiming something that you lost if you don't store something up inside of you. Right? Now I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. Not being political. Just listen. You got to guard your ground by clothing yourself with God's armor. And yes, church, God has a wall. He has a wall. And it's in Ephesians 6:13-18. And they don't have the scripture on the back because I wanted to speak to it today. This is the full armor of God. God places this spiritual protection or wall around you. To guard the ground, you are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus lives inside of you. And he gives us in Ephesians this covering, this wall, this wraparound, the belt of truth. The belt of truth, the Bible says in Ephesians. Where everything wraps around you. Some have big belts like me, because I got a lot to hold in, you know. And others have much smaller belts. But they wrap around me to hold it tight. The breastplate of righteousness, part of that wall of protection. It is the righteousness of Christ, not my righteousness. It's not mine. But I can get and share the life of it to cover me. Shoes of the gospel. Gospel shoes for marching for Jesus. You don't march backwards, church. No army marches backwards. They always march forward to regain the ground that you lost. The shield of faith protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. The faith is not something that comes from within. It is God's gift to us. He gives each a measure of faith to all. Some of you have this down pat. Others, like me, just struggle with it sometimes. But God has given us this protection to secure the beachheads in our life, the ground that we own spiritually. And in Ephesians, he spells them out. The protective wall. You know, I notice the belt goes all the way around. I know that the breastplate protects everything, the vital organs. I know they're shoes. They're not sandals, the Bible says. They're shoes for marching forward. It talks about the helmet of salvation. When we have sure knowledge of our salvation, We will not be moved one inch. We will not lose one ground of beachhead or anything because we already know. We know that we know that we know. And then the only offensive weapon that it talks about in Ephesians of building that wall of protection around you, there's only one offensive, not defensive, right? The protection. There's one thing there that says, I'm going on the offense now. There's one. Who has it? The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is described as living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the only offensive weapon. I carry 55 offensive weapons in my iPad, probably more. At any given time, I can look up any passage. I've got more in my iPad for a Bible than anything else. My iPad is my Bible. I have software after software. I'm buying more software this week. I want more access to more of the offensive weapons to make sure I get back something that was taken from me and reclaim the ground I lost. And I know the only way I can do that is to learn more and more and more about the Word of God to be on the offensive. If I am on the offensive, I don't have to take a defensive posture. Why? Because I'm always invading the ground of the enemy. He can't get into my ground because I'm always advancing on the beachhead, his beachhead. I'm making the offensive move. But God gives us both. God gives us both. He gives us protection, the wall around us, and he gives us a way of being offensive to go after. Right? How do you secure your ground? You guard your ground by walking in reclaimed victory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 through 57, but thanks be to God that he gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, walk in reclaimed victory. Walk in reclaimed victory. Walk in reclaimed victory. I got this list now. And each time I check off that list, I've got that back, and I got that back, and I got that back. I'm going to walk and reclaim victory. I'm going to go on the offensive, more than I ever have. Because I have rightful ownership. I have rightful possessions of these spiritual things that I have lost. And I want them back. And if you're like me, you'll go on the offense, and you'll get yours back too. But God has given this amazing way of reclaiming. The problem is we got to really guard our land, our ground. And don't surrender it, church. Don't surrender it. I'm going to ask our musicians to come back. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about reclaiming. There are some distinct things we need to talk about reclaiming. There's some distinct things. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little precursor for something here. I got to reclaim health. I am tired of the situations that I'm seeing going on in my own church that I pastor. We're going to reclaim health. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I just don't care about that because my God is not bound by age. I've got in-laws pushing 80, and they're more spry than me. I've got a father that's 82, and he could probably outrun me. I don't know how, but he probably could. He rides a bike 10 miles a day. 10 miles, he's 82 years old. And I said, why do you ride a bike 10 miles a day? He says, because I can. 82 years old, and he can do it, and he's going to go do it. He says, I probably can because I do it every single day. See, he figured something out. He figured out how to be on the offensive for his physical health. Now, I'm not saying if you can't do that, I'm not saying that as your pastor. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying he found a way for him. You found a way for you. Right? Find a way for you. I'm going to give you this opportunity here in a second to storm a beachhead, which we call the altar, And to come to an altar and say, God, I know that I know that I know in my life I've lost this ground. Don't tell me you have lost no ground. You have lost ground. Why? The Bible says we lose ground. If we are not on the offensive, we're going to lose ground. And I just know and I feel that we've lost some ground, or whatever the ground is that you have lost. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat as soon as they start singing, come to the altar, and get back what the enemy stole from you. Reclaim in the spirit what God wants to give you back. And then when you leave the holy altar, don't take back anything. Walk out of here and say, God, I got exactly what you want me to have. Don't let the enemy walk out of here and take with you all the stuff that the enemy says, you can't do that. Because, church, you can do it. I'm telling you. And in the weeks to come, I'm going to go along the ride with you, because I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. I want to reclaim those things that God, I've lost that ground. I've lost it in the spirit, and I'm going to go get them. Let's stand together. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to start singing. And if you want me to pray with you, and we got altar workers in this church, if it's health, we're going to be talking about that in a few weeks. But whatever ground you feel you've lost, come up to the altar and let's start the process together to get it back. Lord God, I pray right now that we come marching forward and reclaim the ground that we feel like we have lost. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.